all the time. And so I was thinking about this morning, you know, the fireworks, they're exciting and they're powerful. And, you know, and I used to go to the fair and, you know, they had the music and it was something, you know, that made you just like feel all patriotic inside. But I'm here to tell you today, the greatest fireworks is what God can do in your life today. That he's here right now because we've gathered in his name. And we are the body of Christ. And he inhabits our praises. And when he inhabits our praises, he moves in our lives. And so I would just have you stand right now and let's just come to the Lord with expectant hearts. Lord, we look to you, Lord. We look to you, Lord. We look, Lord, to your power and your glory and your might. And yes, your fireworks, Holy Spirit, working in our lives today. We want to praise your name, Jesus, and lift your name higher in this place. We want to declare that you are King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We want to declare that you're our God and we are your people, the sheep of your pasture. Lord, we declare right now that you are the reason that we are here today. We're gathering, Lord, in you, Lord, right now. And we ask that you would just do above and beyond. We ask or think in our lives, Lord, that we would leave this place not the same as when we came in. I pray right now, Lord, that every heart, including mine right now, would focus on you. That we would turn our attention towards our Lord and Savior. That we would set our gaze on the one that first set his gaze on us. Jesus, we thank you. We thank you, Lord, that you have called us by name and that we are yours and you are ours. So, Lord, we're going to celebrate you right now in worship. We ask that you would allow us to fully, 100% worship you in spirit and in truth because the Father desires us to worship you that way. In Jesus' name, amen.
Give me Jesus. that's the freedom. Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus. Every day, make me more like Jesus. Crucify my flesh with yours, that my new life might be secure. Everything I do, let's walk it under you. Resurrect me, sanctify, make me into your image.
Save me from myself. Praise be to God.
You save me from myself. Praise be to God, praise be to God. A new life I've been done. Oh, I'll never look back. Oh, I can't go back on your. No, I'll never look back. No, I can't go back on yours. Oh, praise be to God, praise be to God. God, you save me from myself. Praise be to God, praise be to God. A new life I've been done. Oh, never look back, no, I can't go back to yours. No, I never look back, no, I can't go back to yours. Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, make me more like Jesus every day. Crucify my flesh with yours. My new life, my peace secure. Everything I do, done so I can honor you. Resurrect me, sanctify me. Make me into your image. Starts to tremble at the light that you bring when you walk into the room. Every heart starts burning, and nothing matters more than just sit here at your feet and worship you. hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Come and continue, God. All we are, give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you. We want you. Oh, come and consume. Come and consume, God. All we are, give you permission. Our hearts are yours. We want you.
The first time you got stuck on when you walk into the room, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And I accidentally stayed on it, and then you stayed on it. And I think that was your spirit saying, "Come on, Lord." So I'd like us to sing that a few times. If you're not sick right now and you're not dealing with diseases, I think we all have been dealing with hopeless situations. If not now, at times. And they cease to exist when he walks into the room. And as I said from the very beginning, he's here right now. He's ready to touch our lives, touch our hearts, bring transformation and change. So let's do that again, Eric.
Every whole situation ceases. ceases to exist when you walk into the room. Sacred scars avenge every old situation. Ceases to exist when you walk into the room. Sacred scars vanish every whole situation. Ceases to exist when you walk into the room. Sacred scars vanish every whole situation. Ceases to exist when begin. The dead begin to rise, cause there is resurrection life in all you do. And we love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We
song says, come and consume, God, all we are. We do give you permission, Lord. Our life is yours, and we do want you.
Pastor Mike?
Yes.
Pastor, Tim's dad went to the hospital this weekend. Can we be praying over him? Because they thought they had his bleeding stopped, and I just read before we came up, the bleeding didn't stop.
Father, we just lift Ted before your throne of grace right now, Lord, as we lay hands on Tim, Lord, in proxy. Father, we thank you that there's no distance in the spirit, Lord. And as we're laying hands on Tim, Lord, you're touching Ted. Lord, we pray right now that you would just touch this bleeding, Lord, that you would stop the hemorrhaging, Lord, and you would allow your healing hand right now to rest on Ted. Lord, we pray that your presence would fill that room. Lord, even as we're praying, when you walk into the room, Lord, sickness starts to vanish. Every hopeless situation ceases to exist. We declare that over Ted's situation right now in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray that you give the doctors wisdom, Lord. You just allow, Lord, your perfect will to be done here. In Jesus' name, allow your power, your glory, and your might, Lord, and your love to be released into this situation. In Jesus' mighty name, bless the family, Lord. Encourage their hearts, Lord, to trust you. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise God. All right, we'll hug on somebody, which you already are doing. We'll be back in a couple minutes. All right, praise the Lord. Well, we have a special guest speaker. She's special to me. I'm sure she's special to you. But before that, we're going to do the Heart of the House declaration. So if you stand with me. And on three, declare this nice and loud. One, two, three. We declare that God is building our church, that God is calling us to the basic gospel, and that he is awakening our church, that we will live a vulnerable life for the Lord. We declare that God is working in our waiting, that our hearts are prepared to move where his heart moves. And we declare right heart and right mind,
And we declare that we are becoming a house of prayer for all nations. In Jesus' name. Yes, thank you, Lord. We do. We declare, Lord, that we're becoming who you've called us to be, not only as a church and a body of believers, Lord, but as individuals. Lord, I pray right now, Lord, that who you have called each and every one of us to be would manifest in our lives. Lord, that we would let your transforming power, Holy Spirit, to work in us, work through us, work in our families, Lord, work in our workplaces, Lord, work in our schools, Lord, work in our friends and our relationships, God, that we participate with every single day. Lord, I pray that you would just allow us to be the light of the world as you've called us to be. And help us all to develop, Lord, that heart of prayer, that we might become a house of prayer, Lord, individually and as a body. Lord, I pray right now that you would just let your presence, Lord, fill each and every home in this place, Lord, in such a way that when people enter it, Lord, they realize that they're in a distinct and a unique place compared to the world. And we thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, I think we just have one announcement. House of Prayer, still working on the location, right? We're still working on location. So, but it will be next Saturday. So we're looking forward to being where we will be. You guys will get a text where that location will be. I'll make it so that it's early so that you're not trying to figure it out on Saturday. So praise God. And then I think it's going to be time for, not for the children yet. Thank you for giving. You can give up front, you can give in the back, or you can give online. We're thankful for everyone who gives this house with their tithes and offering, their gifts. And would the children come on up? Praise the Lord. You know God's working in your guys' lives, don't you? And you like Pastor Gay, right? That's okay. That's okay. No hard feelings here. A little, but no hard. Not really. But Lord, we bless them right now in Jesus' mighty name. We thank you, Lord, for their life. Thank you, Lord, that you're working in their hearts, even in these young years, Lord. And thank you, Lord, that the calling and the purposes and the plans that you have on their lives, Lord, will be fulfilled in Jesus' name. Let them receive today what you have for them. Let them be blessed, encouraged, and growing in you. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. All right. Do you want this mic? Is this mic okay? Okay. This one's fine, Jess? Okay. All right. Praise the Lord.
So, if you would have asked me a month ago, would I be sitting here? I would be saying no. It's so funny how God works in my life and how he has gifted to my life the ability to recognize when he's talking to me, to get it. Like I get it that he's like giving me a message, right? And so I don't even know how I got on this topic of what I'm going to talk about today, but yesterday morning at 5 o'clock, I've been very aware of what it looks like outside at 5 a.m. just in this past month, because I've been awake more than I've been asleep just because of the surgery and, you know, not being able to sleep very long and all that. And so I'm awake at 5 and I've only been asleep like a couple hours, and I'm like, Jesus, please let me sleep. And he's like, no, I want to talk to you. And so I'm like, okay, you can talk to me. So he started talking to me, and I'm like, and I'm listening and I'm hearing his voice, and I know that there's something he's trying to tell me. And I know that my husband is getting ready to get up like within an hour because he's going to go to prayer. Okay, so on Saturday mornings, he goes to prayer a lot at Pastor Joel's church. Pastor Joel owned this, their church owned this building, and he's the one that purchased Pastor Rick's building. Pastor Rick purchased ours, right? So it was that three-way turn. So Pastor Joel's church has prayer every Saturday morning. Is it at 8 o'clock? seven in the morning. Anyway, okay. So I told the Lord, I said, you know, if I'm still awake when it gets closer to it, I think I should go. And he's like, yes, I think you should go. So was he going to let me sleep? No, he was not going to let me sleep. So I got up and got ready. We were a little bit late. I'm sorry, babe, but that's just how it is. And so we got there and I'm thinking to myself, you know, Lord, I have gone through all of this, hardly sleeping last night, us intimately talking together for the last hour and a half, you know, getting ready, coming, trying to look presentable by, you know, slapping on some makeup. And I know you have something to say to me. I know that. I have been walking with him too many years not to be acutely aware of when he's speaking to me. And so I was very aware that he had something that he wanted me to hear. So we get to Pastor Joel's church, and my husband finds a place in the very back, far corner, and so we sit there, and then the aisle is just, or the row of chairs is just a short row, and there's an elderly couple sitting at the end of this row. So when we got in there, it was like 5 to 10 after 7, I can't remember for sure, but the whole church was praying. And you guys, this was the first thing in my brain was like, oh my goodness, they have more people at prayer than we have at Sunday morning service. Like, it was packed. Like, it really was packed. I would say 120 people were there, give or take. And I'm like, oh Jesus, I love that, because two of my favorite things, people and prayer, right? So I was really, at this point, I knew that I was exhausted, but I knew that sleep could happen later on. But that this was something that my heart was really happy about. And so we go in and we sit down, and my husband, I noticed, got this very big streak of loudness in him. And he's like praying really loud. And I'm like, I'm trying to listen to Jesus here. And he's like really praying loud. And I'm like, and so I kind of got a little bit of a giggle out of that one. But anyway, and so all of a sudden I'm sitting down and I've bent my head over like this, and I start to cry because I know God has something in this. And I start to cry, and I mean, it's not the pretty cry where, you know, tears are just washing down you. It's the sobbing, you know, racking sob. This little old lady down here gets up and walks down the row and puts her hand on me, and she begins to pray for me, and she doesn't know me from anybody. But the words that she's praying out loud are like my very heart, and I know it's what God needed me to hear in that moment. And then I start crying even harder, and I'm like, God, there's a reason for this morning, and I'm yours, however that looks. And so she got done praying for me. I told her thank you, and she moved down. And then at that point, you know, prayer kind of slowed down, and then Pastor Joel stood up, and such a sweet man of God. And he began to speak, and he began to speak on the very topic that the Lord was speaking to me about. And I'm like, okay, point taken, God. You are so funny. I didn't get it this morning at 5. I barely got it at 7 when she was praying for me, but now I get it. Like, you are, you know, third time's a charm. Like, I get that you are saying this to me. And so we go home, and I'm sitting in my chair, and I start writing out notes and stuff. And he says, does this mean you're preaching tomorrow? He says, and I'm like, I think so. So anyway, so here I am. So you get me in all my glory. Babe, I need Kleenex. Anyway, so, okay. So we're going to start with, is there some in there? Oh, praise the Lord. We're going to start with everybody taking yourself back to your high school years. We're going to have a pop quiz. You ready? Do we have a thing for that or no? No. Okay, pop quiz. All right, here we go. And everybody, you have to be honest. Just raise your hand. That's all you have to do. This is a feelings, F-E-E-L-I-N-G-S. This is a feelings test. So what all did you feel yesterday? Who felt happy yesterday? Raise your hand. Who felt sad yesterday? Raise your hand. Who felt upset yesterday? Raise your hand. Who felt angry yesterday? Raise your hand. Who felt joyful yesterday? Raise your hand. Who felt thankful yesterday? Raise your hand. Who felt disappointed yesterday? Raise your hand. Who felt depressed yesterday? Raise your hand. Pop quiz. It's about feelings. And did you know we can't really trust our feelings? Like, did you know that our feelings are not reliable? We're going to get on to that. So how do you deal with how you feel? Did we put that up? Okay, so some people deal with journaling. Pastor Eric is a big note taker, and the kids. And the lady up in the middle with the earphones on, I'm assuming she's listening to worship, and I'm all over that, like, you know, Doritos on a chip. I love worshiping. Some people do exercise or yoga or whatever that gal's doing, and some people type instead of journal. And so there's a whole different plethora of things that you deal with your feelings by doing this one thing. Mark 12, 29 through 30 in the New Living Translation says, Jesus replied, the most important commandment is this. Listen, O Israel. Now that's speaking down the line to us because we're the children of the Lord. The Lord our God is the one and only Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, and all your strength. Now, if that's not the most beautiful portion of Scripture, I don't know what is. Because it is telling us that everything that encompasses who we are in life, that God, that the, he must, you must love the Lord your God with all of these things, right? So, what if this verse said, you must love, hold on, let me think. You must love your favorite football team with all your heart, mind, soul. What would it be, Pastor Eric? It would be Seahawks. What if it said you must love your favorite singer? I don't know who that would be because I'm about worship music. But anyway, how about your favorite actor? How about your favorite food? Now, there's a little story behind this favorite food one. And my whole family is in on this little clue. I am an ice cream financiad. Did I say that word right? Okay. Look at Emma back there. She's like, yep, she sure is. Yep, she sure is. I love ice cream. And I not only love ice cream, but if you sat me down to do like an ice cream eating contest, I could almost guarantee I could possibly be close to the winner because I can even eat ice cream fast. I love it so much. And I was reminded back when my parents passed away, me and my twin sister were cleaning out their little house, and we had taken a break because neither one of us had had lunch. It was already 4 in the afternoon. We were exhausted, been working all day. So she says, let's go get some frozen yogurt, because yogurt, that's good for you. And there's fruit there, and there's, you know, nuts there and all that. So you can get a healthy frozen yogurt. You can. It's possible. Trust me. So we went there, and we're both filling up our cups, and my cup ended up being way heavier than her cup, but I didn't care. I was after my frozen yogurt. So we sit down, and we're just chit-chatting and talking, and all of a sudden, I'm scraping, and she looked at me, and she said, are you done already? And I'm like, yeah, and she showed me her cup, and it was only halfway down. I'm like, you still have that much to eat? She goes, yeah. And I'm like, whoops. And she's like, no, hold on, here. She took a couple more bites. Here, you can have mine. And so I just downed the rest of hers too. And that reminded me of when we were twins. My mom always told the story that she was more sickly than I was. And I was way faster at drinking my bottle than she did. And so I'd drink my whole bottle. And then I'd crawl over to her and snatch her bottle and finish her bottle for her because she wasn't doing it fast enough. So my mom, when she found out that that was happening, she ended up putting us in separate beds because I would steal the food. Well, I was a baby. I didn't know what I was doing. But we soon learned how to rock our beds together. Have you ever seen that? That twins have this innate ability to just, they can rock their cribs and stick their cribs together and then stick their arms and legs through and just touch one another and then be able to go to sleep. Have you seen that, Pastor Eric? It's a beautiful thing. But I couldn't reach her bottle even through that. So anyway, but it was still, it was a beautiful thing. Okay, so when I was talking about, you know, love the Lord your God or love your favorite actor or football team or whatever, what picture came to mind when I said your favorite football team? It was the Seahawks. What came to mind? Your favorite food? Me? Ice cream? Hello? What about your favorite singer? I don't know singers, but anybody yell out a singer that you really like? Anybody? Singer? No?
Alan Jackson.
Huh?
Alan Jackson.
Oh, Alan Jackson. There you have it. Bless his heart. We need to be praying for that man. He's not well. Did you know that? He's not well. Yeah. Anyway, so that's amazing you said that because I just read that about him yesterday. Anyway, so you get this picture in your mind, right? What I want to do is I want to, when this scripture is read, I want the picture in my mind to be all Jesus. The Lord that loves me, even though I can be all scatterbrained and, you know, a mess and sometimes hurting and sometimes angry and sometimes just wanting to get it right, but just falling so very short. I want that to be the thing that comes to mind when I hear that kind of scripture. So in this scripture that we just read, God is actually saying to us, I want an emotional relationship with you. I don't want rote. I don't want counting beads or memorizing something that you've known since you were in catechism as a little kid. He honors those things, don't get me wrong, in people that do those things, but he wants a heart-to-heart connection. He longs for it so much in us. And sometimes the only way to get it is to wake us up at 5 a.m. Yeah. And remind us that we said, if I'm still awake at 6:30, I'll get up and I'll go to prayer with my husband. Going to prayer on a Saturday morning at 7 o'clock? That's the kind of emotional connection he wants to have with us. And what's so amazing about that is when we say yes, oh, it just unleashes the beauty of heaven on our life. Even if we don't understand why. Okay, so I'm going to give you 4 facts about your emotions, 4 of them. Number 1 is God has emotions. Now, Jesus was God in the flesh, right? And can you imagine all the emotions that he went through on Palm Sunday? Like, we just celebrated Easter just a bit ago. But he was happy to see how many people turned out. He was thankful for the praises that they lavished on him with the palm reeds and all of that. He was disappointed in the Pharisees that they still didn't get it after all that. They still didn't get it. The only reason you have emotions is because God has emotions, because we are made in his image. And he knew that as a people of God, that all of those things would come together in a beautiful person, me, you. And if we, okay, so that's number 1, is God has emotions. Number 2, my ability to feel those emotions are a gift from the Lord. I mean, have you ever seen a person that looks like they can only go so far and then you can't get into them any further? My spiritual mom came up to be with me when my life fell apart in 1980. Oh, I guess it was 19, 92, my life just fell apart. And my spiritual mom came to me, and she stayed with me for a week, and she loved on me. She loved on my babies. We stayed up talking until all hours of the morning, even though I had to work the next morning. She just wanted to pour into me. She's the woman that poured into me from the very beginning. And I remember that she was telling me about this one thing, because she had gone to counseling for a whole lot of reasons, but she said something. She said, my counselor said something to me, and I'm going to give this to you. And I said, okay. She says, you know those clocks that are on the mantle that are gold, but they have that dome that you can slide down over the clock, and so you can't, like, really touch the clock, but there's a dome so you can see everything about the clock. You can see how the clock even works because it's ticking in the back, and you can see that through the glass, but you can only go to the glass. You can't get into unless you lift that dome. And she said, when people are hurting us and it's a continual thing that happens, this counselor told her, put your dome down. Put your dome down. It doesn't mean you're not forgiving them, but they could, at that point in your heart, they can only come so far. And they may try to come further, but when you've kind of just like put that there, then you're protecting yourself, and I'm allowed to protect you. So she told me that, and I'm like, I've thought on that a lot in these past years, a lot. And I really do believe that there's something in there. So I'll let you know as I keep doing it. Anyway, if you didn't have emotions, you'd be a robot. Now, with AI, we have gotten major pictures of robots, haven't we? Like, they almost look like they're real, and some of them you can't tell if they're real or not, and some of them, like, you know, speak and talk and interact and all of these things. And God did not want that for our lives. Not saying that robots couldn't be a thing, but he didn't want us to be robots. He wanted us to have emotions. He wanted us to have feelings. He wanted us to be able to be interactive with the people in our lives, with him, with others. And so he doesn't want us to be robots because he has something he needs to say to us, and we need to hear it, and we need to receive it, and we need to put it into our lives. And the only way that happens is through our emotions and our feelings, by saying, Lord, I get that now. I get why you would want me to do that. So yesterday morning, when that sweet little lady who did not know me from Adam walks down 6 chairs and puts her hands on me and begins to pray over me, God had a purpose in all of yesterday morning for me. Had I been a robot, had I been disconnected, had I been like, you know, like annoyed in any way about what God was doing in my heart, I wouldn't have received anything. Why am I sitting up here? I'm not sitting up here for you. I have to be really honest. I love you, but this is about God, and this is about me, and this is about my heart being moved to the point that he can work in me to further me for the kingdom's sake, which then affects you. And so as I'm experiencing all of that yesterday morning, we get done praying, and Pastor Joel and his wife, Stephanie, is that right, Stephanie, yeah, they both come over, they're so happy to see us, they're hugging us and all of that, and Stephanie's like, how are you doing? Like, they, ever, you know, everybody knew what happened with my knee and all that stuff, and so God spoke through her to me when she said, in a few months, you're going to be able to look back on this and see the hand of God in your life as he's worked through people, through your people, through your family, through your work, through whatever. You'll be able to see the hand of God and how he's made things to work for you. And I really was very thankful to hear that. Okay, so God gave us our emotions for a reason, and he wants us to worship him emotionally. He wants us to feel it. He doesn't want us to sing it and it be rote, right? I was watching a little clip last night, and it was two people. One was a gal named Pia Toscana, and the other one was Catherine McPhee Foster, and both of them were singing a version of God Bless America that had been written by Catherine's husband. And as I'm watching that, I'm watching these women that they're doing a job. It's their job, singing. But you can tell when somebody's singing a song and feeling it versus someone singing a song and they don't feel it. You can tell when a person is praying and just praying a prayer versus a person that is praying and they feel every word. You can tell the difference between a person that is happy that God woke them up at 5 o'clock to get them to prayer at 7 o'clock and a person that is, you know, and they begrudgingly come versus a person that, if I could have, I'd have run in there because I knew God had something for me. And I knew that that was the avenue that he wanted me to go through to get what I needed to get. And so we need to be very aware that God knows what to put in our lives in order to speak to us. Sorry. Okay. So, did you know that God complains in Scripture? He complains many times, but the one that he complains about that really hit me hard yesterday was that scripture that you said last week. I'm not sure where it's found, but it talks about that we worship with our lips, but our hearts are far from him. I don't want my heart to be far from God. I want it to be his heart. I want my heart to be his heart. And so I don't know if somebody can find that scripture, but if you find it, then we'll just kind of yell it out loud what it is. But the Bible doesn't use the words emotions in particular, but it does use the words passions, affections, or the number one term for emotions is the heart. So throughout scripture, you're going to see all of those kinds of words. And God is saying, that's what I'm talking to you about emotions. That's what I'm talking to you about with regard to whether or not you're going to do this like rote, just to get to heaven. Now, one of these days, all of us need to sit down at a big round table where we all fit, and we need to have like a round table, and we need to talk about this. Did you find that? Where is that? Isaiah 29:13 is where that scripture is about our hearts being far from him. So, excuse me, I just lost what I was talking about with the round table. I know, but why did I say that? Well, maybe it'll come back to me. I'm 64. I have a reason for that to happen. Okay, so the book of Psalms has every emotion in it, the good, the bad, and the ugly. It really does. And sometimes you can read a psalm in there and say, why did God put that in there? Why did God put that in there? God has a reason for every single and, it, they, the. He has a reason for everything that's in Scripture. And so the psalm is where you can go to if you're hurting or if you're angry, if you're tired, if you're full of joy or full of sorrow. If you have questions and you're wondering, God, why do you have me doing what I'm doing? Why am I not any further along than where I'm at? What is it that you're trying to say to me? You will find an answer in Scripture, especially in Psalms. So I encourage you to try and name that emotion, name that, you know, I'm depressed or I'm sad or I'm hurting or I'm whatever it is. And then in that word, search it out. Concordance. We all need to learn how to do that. And maybe Roundtable could actually help that too. We could do that like the Blue Bible thing. We should do that. Okay. So, all right, hold on. Sorry. So the four things again were God has emotions. My ability to feel is a gift. God gave us the book of Psalm in order to understand our emotions. And you know what? That was three things. I'm sorry, I did it wrong. That's three things about the facts of your emotions. The next one is four, and it's four important reasons why we need to learn to deal with what we feel. Okay, so one, feelings aren't reliable. They're not reliable at all. I feel this way is not a reason for you not to go to church. Or they hurt me, therefore I don't have to deal with them. Or here's one. I'm too old to have to do this. Now let me say what I mean by that. God will say, get into scripture and figure it out. Get into scripture, go to the psalm, find the one thing you're dealing with, look it up. I'm too old. I can't do that. No. No excuses. No excuses. Okay? So feelings are not reliable. And our feelings can be wrong. We don't have to accept everything that we feel. We don't have to accept it. Okay? So Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end leads to death. That's how I know that feelings are not reliable. Because it may seem right to me. I have a right to be angry with them. They did this, 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 and this. And I know, you guys, I know that that's why yesterday happened for me, and I'll explain that a little bit later. Okay. Number two of the four is because I don't want to be manipulated. If you don't control your emotions will control you. You'll end up being manipulated by your own moods and allowing your moods to be the reason why you don't do this or that for God, right? In the days that Proverbs was written, there was a wall that was being built to keep the enemies out. Big walls. Proverbs 25:28 says, hold on, let me pull it up here. A person without self-control is like a city with broken down walls. If we're not in control and we don't control our emotions, we can be broken down like the walls of an abandoned city. Defenseless to the enemy and the manipulation of our own nature. Our very own nature can manipulate us. And let me explain that. So my dad was an individual. And he's since gone on to be with the Lord. But he loved Jesus so much. But he was, to describe him, I just wish I had one word to describe him. Unique is a good word, but it doesn't exactly say why he was unique. But he was like, he had no filter. If he was having problems with his stomach, he would tell you about it. He did not like not being in control. This one time we went to dinner, it was back when Sea Galley was still up out in Union Gap, and we all were around paying our bill, and my dad had to go to the bathroom. He came out, and the toilet seat cover that he had used was hanging out the back of his pants, and we all just roared laughing, and he hated being laughed at. It upset him so badly, but it was so funny, because here's this man so in control that his belt had to be just so, and his slacks had to look just so, and his boots had to be shined, and his cowboy hat had to sit just so. I mean, and then to have a toilet seat cover coming out of your backside, I mean, all of us just died laughing. And but he didn't like not being in control. But I remember when my dad walked the aisle, and he gave his heart to Jesus so strongly. He was sobbing, and I cleaned his messy nose. I watched my dad put everything of who he was aside to receive the God that loved him and had a purpose for his life. I've never known someone that could be so different as a human being and someone that was so in love with Jesus as my dad was. My dad really, really loved the Lord. And he spent the rest of his life trying to please him. Did he make it every time? No, none of us do. But he truly was a man after God's own heart. Sorry, you guys. Okay, so your old nature will use feelings to turn you inside out. Your old nature will. It will convince you that you deserve whatever you feel like having. And in that right there is sin. Because it's putting my old nature, me convincing myself that I deserve whatever I feel like having, that's putting that before God, and that's sin. Okay, number three is because I want to please God. I want to please God so badly. Four important reasons why we need to learn to deal with what we feel is because we want to please God. Not please man. Not please your mama and your daddy. Not please your spouse even. But just please God. Caden and Eric, can I get your help for a second? Caden, would you like to be God with a big G or God with a little G? God with a big G. The little G? Oh, you do not know what you just picked, son. All right, come here. Can you take this? And can you take this? And then, Eric, you can be big God and big Jesus. You just stand right here between you two of you right here. Okay. Because I want to please God, right? God cannot be God in my life. Oh, let's do emotions first. If emotions are God in my life, God cannot rule my life if emotions rule my life. Jesus can't be Lord of my life if my emotions are Lord of my life. Okay, the next one, Caden. Whenever you see this word like this in the Bible with the little G, that's talking about everyone other than God. The big G is what tells you whether or not it's speaking about the Holy One. So if it's a big G in the Bible, it's speaking about God. When it's speaking about this God, straighten up, dude. Get it right. Okay, thank you. That's all I needed. It makes it easier when we see something like that to be able to understand what I'm talking about. But being able to have that kind of picture in my brain really helps me to be able to see if I'm like, when I'm looking at my life and I'm saying, okay, God, is this, you know, what you want me to do? Is this what you have for me? Then I start looking for those things in this particular arena that I'm dealing with right now. So right now I'm dealing with more pain than I've ever dealt with in my whole life. If I would have known how bad this was going to be, I would have seriously considered not doing it. And the doctor said the other day, now we need to do the other one. I looked at him and I said, not in this lifetime. It's not happening. He said, we'll readdress that in 3 months is what he said. And I said, I'm still going to say no. But I know God has a purpose for it. If even about what happened yesterday happened in my life, if that's the only reason, it was the best reason. Because he needed me to hear it and I couldn't hear it any other way than that. If I make all my decisions simply based on how I feel, then I've made my feelings a God. I've made my feelings a God, and then God can't be my God. Romans 8, 6 through 8 says, to be controlled by human nature results in death. To be controlled by the Spirit results in life and peace. Those who obey their human nature cannot please God. Have I missed any of those things? Have I slid right over some of them?
I don't know.
I think that's the last one, yeah. The fourth reason I must manage my emotions is because I want to succeed in life. Yeah, I don't think it's there. I must have gone over it. Sorry, baby. It was decisions. Yeah, it's about decisions. Okay, so number four, because I want to succeed in life. 1 Peter 4:2 says, from now on, you must live the rest of your earthly lives controlled by God's will and not by human desires. So you're going to be given this particular thing in many different avenues. God has allowed many different things to approach me, and it's been from him, but it's not like, God of heaven, I have this for you. It's not like wasn't obvious. Do you know what I'm saying? But it could come from some other different avenue you weren't even thinking of. And God wants you to receive that for your life because he has a purpose and a plan for your life. And can I say this? There's a scripture that talks, and this is just a side note. There's a scripture that talks about youth not despising their youth. Like, it doesn't matter how young you are. If you speak the word of God with authority and God has it for you to speak, you speak it. No matter how old you are. Can I say that about some of us sitting in this room about the other side of life? Like, we're not teenagers or kids anymore, but we are 60 plus. And I can point all of us out right now so bad, but 60 plus, that does not give you a reason to not do something for God. Your age has nothing to do with it. Being willing and open before him allows him to use you in a way that he needed you to be used that he could not find any other way. And let me just say this. If God does give you a gift and you don't use your gift, he will find another person. One time I wrote this statement, and this is what it said. If what I have to give to God, I give to God begrudgingly, he can find from somebody else willingly. If I give it with a begrudgingly attitude and then sits Caden and Caden can give it to him with all his heart, mind, and soul, and he can do it with a love and a gentleness, God will let Caden take it over. We have to be in control of who we are in order for us to find the real purpose in our life from God. And let me explain what I mean by that. My husband, before we even got married, in fact, in his 20s, never wanted to be a pastor of any church. He had no desire. It wasn't even on his radar. He goes through his 20s. He goes through rough patch, goes through terrible breakup with his first wife, and he has his son who he's dealing with 24/7. He was full maintenance baby boy. He was handicapped. And then we got married, and we're both dealing with it, as well as my two kids. And we're like, you know, how could we ever, like, do anything else? Like, we're so busy working and kids and, you know, doing the things we're doing. But I will say, if God has it for you to do, he will make a way for you to do it. Yeah. And so here's my husband. And my husband is truly one of the most giving, loving, kindest souls I've ever met in my whole life. And he believes the best of you. Even if what you're doing shows the worst of you, he will still think the best of you because that's his nature. That's who he is. But he never wanted to be a pastor of a church. Now let's fast forward from 30. When did we start, baby? Like 45? 15 years later? No, as going into leadership and moving on for age 45. Now, some people have been pastors for years at age 45. And he's not thinking, I even want to be a pastor. Now, I'm going to stop that story right there, and I'm going to start another story about a gal that he met and fell in love with. How does Blake Shelton do that? Anyway, and when I was a very young teenager, I knew that God wanted me to be a pastor's wife. And so I thought when I married my first husband and my first husband started really going out on a limb, I thought, well, that was my chance, and it just got taken away from me. I guess it's not going to be for me, even when I thought it was. And so I'm giving my life to God, even though it's not turning out the way I thought. And now, 66, and I'll be 65 next month. And here we are. Now, God had a plan and a purpose in his 20s, 30s, 40s. He couldn't see the plan and the purpose, but God had it. He had the opportunity to going with his feelings. No, I don't think I ever want to be a pastor. Oh, I don't think I, no, that's not something I want to do. But he was open to what God wanted him to do. And being open allows God the room in our lives to do what he's calling us to do. And when you give your heart to Jesus, me as a little kid, some of you as little kids, some of you as teenagers, some of you as people, older people, when you give your heart to Jesus, that includes your emotions. So we can't say, oh, that's just my nature. That's just the way I am. No. It may be who you were, your old nature, old man, but that's not who you are. Coming to Jesus changes everything. Where he's placed you changes everything. This morning, as we're sitting here, and Pastor Mike's already come up, and he's talked, and then we start singing the song again, and Pastor Nancy comes up and starts to pray over me. She's praying the same thing that the lady yesterday morning prayed, that God spoke to me at 5 o'clock and said, Nancy's praying the very same thing, and I told Nancy not one word of what happened to me this weekend. I didn't say anything to her. I'm sitting here, and I'm feeling sick, nauseous when I came in. I'm like, some of you ladies, like, I'm not feeling good. I got to go sit down. And I'm like, oh, Jesus, I'm supposed to talk this morning. And Jesus says, oh, I got it. Got it. You're good. And I am good. Because when the enemy comes in like a flood, God raises the standard a little higher. And he raised the standard when he had Nancy come and pray over me. He said, enemy, not on my watch. Gaylene's my girl. She's the reason that this word is going to be heard today, no matter what you try to do to her. Yesterday morning, Mike's like, you're going to prayer with me? I'm like, yes, I'm going to prayer with you. First time ever to Pastor Joel's church. You preaching? Yes, I'm preaching tomorrow. All of these things, I want to say no. I'm hurting. I'm tired. I've never felt this way in a month of my life like I have this month. But God's like, Gay, if you can go up there and you can say truth, they can say truth because of me. If you can go up there and Jimmy rig a place to be able to sit, to be able to speak. If you can do that, I can work in their lives too. So I stood up out of that chair, and my husband helped me up here, and I'm in my mind, I'm saying, devil, not on my watch. Not on my watch. When he walks into the room, everything changes. Every hopeless situation, ceases to exist. Can we sing that, Pastor Eric? When he walks into the room, sickness starts to vanish. When he walks into the room, who I think I am becomes less because he speaks who I am because of him. When he walks into the room where I'm at, the enemy has to flee because the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords is here. And he loves us. And he cares for us. And he has a purpose. And he has a plan.
Get enough. Oh.
is for you, Jesus.
Babe, could you show the verse that talks about the dead begin to rise? When you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise because there's resurrection life in all you do. I just want to say this one thing. I don't know who this is for, but when he walks into the room and the dead begin to rise, people may have spoken death over your life. People may have hurt you by speaking death over a calling, a gifting, a dream. Unbeknownst to them, that God was using that to draw you to himself. What is the answer to that? The answer to that is forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing, as Jesus did. Re-gift back to God what he gave you and say, however you need this to work for me in my life, God, I'm willing. Because there's life in you, not death. So I speak life over who that's for. I speak life over you. I speak God's peace over your life. I speak God's will over your life. I speak God's heart over your life. Receive it, even if you don't know how it's going to work. Just receive it. Sit in it. Talk to God about it. Ask him how it could be. He will bring life to what you thought was already dead in your life. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you, God, that you have a purpose and a plan, not just for some of us, but for all of us. Touch these precious hearts, God, that are yours. Help them to rest in who you are. Help them to acknowledge you in everything that they do. Help them to do what you want them to, what you want them to do. Help them not to feel alone. Help them to know that there's a purpose and a plan for their lives. Thank you for today, Jesus. We love you. And we'll never stop. All of this, everything that you did in my life up to this point to bring this message about, all this is for you, Jesus. We thank you for that. In your precious name, amen. Thank you all. Get hugs and love and know that Jesus loves you.
Amen.
Take him with you.